a very good afternoon. It is Niall Boylan for the next 40 minutes to an hour or so. We're going to take your calls, by the way. If you want to WhatsApp or text at any stage at all, remember, you always can. The number, as usual, 085-100-2255. That's it there on the screen. 085-100-2255. Today, of course, I did mention on Twitter earlier on the sad passing of Sinead O'Connor. And today, I suppose, the country is deeply saddened by the news of Sinead O'Connor's passing. And the journey, wherever she believed she was going, it was kind of confusing over the years what Sinead believed in. She was a misunderstood individual. And wherever she's passed on to, we wish her well. And she'll never be forgotten. But one thing that Sinead O'Connor was famous for, apart from the wonderful talent that she had for singing, was, of course, being outspoken. She didn't care what people thought. She actually led the way for many people in Ireland to speak out. And that very famous moment that most people will remember when she was on Saturday Night Live in America. And of course, Catholics and Christians in America were not too pleased at the time. And I remember at the time there was this whole thing about burning her albums, as they did with the Beatles many years before that as well. But this was a changing moment in Irish history, whether you realise it or not. And I'll explain why in a second. Let's just watch the video of what she did on Saturday Night Live.
We have confidence in the victory of good over evil. Fight the real enemy.
What an interesting moment in American television, in Irish history. And it wasn't that Sinead O'Connor led all the investigations or she had any prior knowledge. But for many people around that time, there was a deep understanding that we knew there was something going on within the church that was evil. But nobody spoke out. Even at one stage, I remember there was a story going to run in one of the newspapers in Ireland. This could have been before Sinead O'Connor actually said that. And three bishops went and literally stopped the press. 3 weeks after that particular incident, she appeared on the Late Late Show with Gay Byrne. And that was the start of what we now know were all the reports, one after the other. Worldwide, there has been so many victims of the abuse of the church, of the Catholic Church. Now, I do want to separate, be very careful here, to separate the Catholic Church from God. I don't believe in God, as you well know, but I do have respect for people's belief in God. I don't have to respect your God, and I've said this a million times. You don't have to force me to believe in God, but I respect your belief in God. But where was she going with tearing up the picture of John Paul? Because John Paul was this wonderful, John Paul II, this wonderful, amazing man that visited Ireland and got an audience of a million people in a country that only had a population of 3 million at the time in Phoenix Park in 1979. So why did she pick on John Paul II? Well, he was the Pope at the time. And as much as you believed he was innocent in all this, he wasn't. Now, there are mixed reports on what John Paul knew. His name, by the way, was Karol Wojtyla. And he was Polish before he was called John Paul II, because, as you know, they don't keep their real names. But he knew of cases of paedophilia within the Catholic Church while he was still a cardinal in Krakow. He transferred priests to other dioceses. He transferred one as far away as Austria to ensure that no scandal would ensue. He was a pope for 27 years, from 1978 until his death in 2005. And wrote a letter of condemnation for a priest accused, a recommendation, say, for a priest accused of abuse to a Vienna cardinal, Franz Kienog, without mentioning the accusations. From the late 1980s, allegations of sexual abuse of children associated with Catholic institutions and clerics in several countries started to be subjected to sporadic, isolated reports. In Ireland, beginning in the 1990s, a series of criminal cases and the Irish government inquiries established that hundreds of priests had abused thousands of children over decades, just in Ireland. One of the most widely known cases of sexual abuse in Ireland, of course, involved Father Brendan Smith, who believed, or we believe, between 1945 and 1989, sexually abused 20 children in parishes from Belfast, Dublin and the United States. We had the Ferns Report, the Murphy Report, the Cloyne Report. And many priests were jailed, but many avoided jail because of death, age, or lack of evidence. Also, what was more notable in this whole thing wasn't the very small percentage of priests, and it was a small percentage of priests in the big scheme of things that abused children, but it was a larger percentage of those who knew about it. Bishops, note takers, witnesses, corroborating stories. People knew what was going on. Some of the general public knew. The Garda Síochána knew. There were so many people involved in what happened. But it wasn't so much about the abuse, although that was really important. It was about the power. The power the church had that allowed this to happen. And the highest ranking official of the Roman Catholic Church in Ireland, Dublin, Archbishop Dermot Martin, slammed Irish Catholic orders for concealing their culpability in decades of child abuse and said they needed to come up with much more money to compensate all the victims. The John Jay report indicated there was 11,000 allegations made against priests, 4,390 priests in America, 4,390 people in the one occupation in America. An independent inquiry said it concluded there was 216,000 victims of sexual abuse carried out by the French Catholic clergy between 1950 and 1920, or should I say 2020. The commission said in February 2017 that the most of the abuse took place in churches, with 7% of Catholic priests accused of abusing children in Australia between 1950 and 2010. It found that 4,444 alleged incidents of child sexual abuse had been reported to the church authorities. In some dioceses, more than 15% of priests were perpetrators. So anywhere worldwide, you can go from anywhere from 4% to 15% of priests were involved. Why? Why priests? Is it because they didn't get married? Is it because they were sexually frustrated? Is it because of the celibacy rules? Why priests? Why were priests? Is it because of power? Why were they taking advantage of children and mainly boys, young boys? You know why they picked boys? Because they thought boys would keep a secret. They thought boys would be too embarrassed to say anything later in life. So what have we learned from all of that? People still go to Mass. And I find this strange that people still go to Mass. Now, Mass attendance has dropped off dramatically. But a lot of that has to do with education. A lot of that has to do with people. Atheism, I suppose, is on the rise. Less people believe and take religion as seriously as they used to be. But after those reports, people still went to Mass and supported the organisation. I'm not talking about supporting God, but the organisation, the Catholic Church. People still praise John Paul. They still had photographs of him up on their walls, of those that famous time in the Phoenix Park. But yet we know he knew about a lot of this. He was involved, like every other pope as well, with the exception of the latest pope. He knew, and he moved priests around and avoided the truth. So the question I'm really asking is it right to be going to Mass and supporting an organization? Not supporting God. You can support God, of course, in your own home, in the privacy of your own home, but supporting an organization that was responsible for so much power and so much abuse in this country and worldwide. Let me know what you think. The number is 085 122 55. That's 085 122 55. Now, I got a message here. I want to read out this very quickly before I go to my first call. Hi, Nan. David here. I'm 34, son of a Muslim and a Catholic. I've never missed Mass unless I was ill. And I've got four children that I bring to Mass too. And I'm married, a non-Catholic. I get great comfort and strength from my faith. I'd be happy to come on and chat, as I've got a quite colourful background. I was never really affected by the damage caused by evil people within the church because my faith is between God and myself. It is frustrating when someone in a position of authority abused their office. But if I was the devil and wanted to get revenge on God, I would do everything I could to infiltrate and destroy anything he made that was good. That comes in from David. And David joins me on the air. David, good afternoon to you.
Hello, Niall. Thanks for having me on. I love the show.
David, I don't want this to come across as anti-religious or anti-God, but I suppose anti-Catholic Church. And when we look at it from a business point of view, the Catholic Church is the PR agency, I suppose, for Christianity and for the Catholic Church in Ireland. We all saw what Sinead O'Connor did. She was quite famous for that particular incident on Saturday Night Live, which led to this opening our minds to, you know, the Catholic Church are not always good. How, when you say you go to Mass every week, and I respect your belief in God, by the way, but when you say you go to Mass every week, how can you support that organization or that part, that marketing company, that PR company, or whatever you want to refer to it as, for the for Christianity? How can you support that, knowing what they were responsible for?
Thanks very much, Niall. I appreciate that there's a lot of people that would kind of look at the church from that perspective, but my approach is that obviously, like, I don't go to a PR company every Sunday to get some kind of fulfillment from that. Like, my belief is that God started the church, and he started with a bunch of kind of fumbling, clumsy people like fishermen and kind of, you know, tradespeople and stuff. And for the majority of the time, they hadn't a clue what he was on about until he explained it to them. Talking about Jesus, by the way.
Yeah.
And, you know, all of them, I think, except for one, betrayed him in some capacity when the time came for him to be captured by the authorities for what he was preaching. And that kind of carries on throughout the centuries, that the church has always been thwarted by individuals who were kind of not, there's a whole lot more people that are kind of behind the scenes that do a lot of good than there are that do evil. But when I go to Mass on Sunday, it's between myself and God. And, you know, I'm not an expert in the church and how the church runs and, you know, all of the workings of it. You were saying there that Pope Francis seems to be doing a good job.
He's doing as much as he can within the rule book, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wouldn't be under any illusion that the church is all good. And, you know, people say, oh, how can the church be infallible? It's actually not.
Sinead O'Connor referred to the Pope as the Antichrist at one stage. And I can see where she, at the time, people thought, you know, well, she's just been anti-Catholic or just been anti-church. But I can see where she came from. When you think of what previous popes, I'm not talking about Pope Francis, but what previous popes, Cardinal Ratzinger and Pope John Paul II, when you see what they knew and what they did, you would have to come to the conclusion that they weren't very godly.
I don't know much about the thing with Pope John Paul II, but I know Cardinal Ratzinger, Pope Benedict, he is, I'm going to paraphrase now, but
didn't he move a paedophile from Munich to another diocese?
I don't know about that, but what I do know is that he defrocked something like 400 priests, and he was quoted as saying something like, there's so much filth in the church.
But look how long he wasn't welcome in Ireland, let's be clear about that, because that was a bad timing for him. But if you remember, he was meant to come over on one or two occasions and never did. How long it took for the apology to come, even though he was well aware of what was going on. He was responsible for the office within the Vatican that was dealing with this. And he was also responsible, before he was a pope, and he was Cardinal Ratzinger, for moving a paedophile in Munich, from what I remember, to a different diocese at the time. A paedophile, a priest that he knew was a paedophile, and had numerous reports, which he was later convicted, from what I remember. But what I'm saying to you is, what's worse in all this is not the ones that did it. And from country to country, it varies from 2% to 15% of allegations against priests, right? It's those who knew. You know, you talk about Cardinal Brady in Ireland, who was the primate of all Ireland at the time, and sat listening to Brendan Smith, who was probably one of the most prolific paedophile priests in Ireland, who abused 20 children. His grave is covered in concrete. Many people say it's to make sure he doesn't get out. But he sat listening, claimed he was a note taker, but he still witnessed that whole thing. And he knew when the young child was giving evidence or giving his details and statement to the Catholic Church, nothing was ever done. He never thought of calling the guards at the time. And his defense for it many years later, back in 2012, when we spoke about it on the air, was, I was only a note taker. That's not good enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I'd agree. I'd agree with you.
So like, it's those people.
It's a horrific thing.
And I think, David, it comes down to power. I think at one stage, the church, the Catholic Church, not God, but the Catholic Church, had too much power. Magdalene laundries, mother and baby homes. I'm not saying they didn't do a lot of good, by the way, because the church were responsible for education in this country, and they picked up the tab where the government let us down or the state let us down. But they did a lot of bad as well, and maybe that was because they were given too much power.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you about the
Oh, we lost David. David, have we lost you? Are you there? Oh, I'm sorry. I do apologize, David. I think we've lost you. Okay, hold on. I'll try and get those calls back again. Unfortunately, hang on a second. I'm going to have to just restart that there for you. I do apologize. I've lost our three calls there, but I will get them back again. Some of your texts and WhatsApp coming in. Niall, I think it's a bit unfair to blame everybody within the Catholic Church for the wrongdoings of the few. And I'm not blaming everybody within the Catholic Church, but it is a disproportionate amount of people. And if you have any occupation where you have a disproportionate amount of people doing wrong, well, then you have to investigate that and figure out why. So we have a huge problem within the Catholic Church, a massive problem, and one that concerns certainly a lot of people. And I suppose the question I'm putting out there is, how can one go to say, you know, a church every week and support an organization? And I'm not saying support God. Your relationship between you and God is one thing. But that's kind of irrelevant, the relationship between you and God. It's the relationship between you and the organization that promotes God. I do apologize. Seems to be having a problem with our phone lines there. For some reason, they all just vanished on us. Anyway, we'll try and get them back in a second if we can. So let's read it. Oh, they're back now. We can get those calls back now. Thank you very much indeed. So what I want to know today is, if you go to Mass or you go into a church, are you essentially being a hypocrite? Because nobody supports abuse, sexual abuse or violence. I would like to think nobody supports that unless there's something very strange about you. But yet people will go in to a church and sit down and pray. Or they will be part of a congregation, and that congregation will sit down and pray. Anyway, some more of your messages in. Niall, can I just say, I enjoyed reading your tweet this morning in relation to Sinead O'Connor. Yes, well, I'll tell you, in relation to Sinead, I met Sinead on numerous occasions, because I've interviewed her many times on both the radio and in other ways as well. And she was always very nice to me. Always very polite. I actually remember on my birthday, she knew it was my birthday and she was coming in for an interview and she hadn't forgotten, but she had forgotten to get something. So she had grabbed something, I think, from her house, and it was this little frog, a little gold-coloured frog covered in little kind of diamante crystals. And she gave me that for my birthday and I still have it. I must actually, I'll tweet a picture of it later on. But she was a very funny person. She's a very serious person by times, but certainly a very funny person. I think a person that was deeply misunderstood, and she will be sadly missed. Let me go to Maureen, if I can. Thankfully, I have the lines back. Maureen, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
Maureen, sorry, I'll try and get David back. Actually, sorry, Maureen, just wait there, because I just want David to finish what he's saying. He's back there now. Sorry, David, I do apologise. We lost all our lines there for a second. A glitch in the system, I do apologise.
So,
David, continue what you were saying in relation to supporting God through the organisation.
It's quite simple, like, from my perspective. Like, there's all that stuff that goes on, and there's all the kind of, I go to a prayer kind of circle every month, and the priest is talking about how there's like the Vaticanistas, and there's the people over there doing all that stuff, and that seems very far removed from kind of the day to day faith that I live out with my family, and the mass that you go to, it's its own community. Like, ultimately, you're going there to worship God and to learn about Jesus. And that's what it comes down to. I mean, I don't know, it's so far removed from all of that stuff that goes on at the upper levels that it concerns all that stuff. You know, it's important to kind of stay on it, but actually it kind of takes away focus from the most important thing, which is to be looking at God.
But do you have to be in that building to worship God? Because the church is the people, isn't it? It's not the physical thing; it's the people.
From when I was a kid, I got my faith. My grandparents met, and they used to go in. They were in a group called the Legion of Mary, which is
that
kind of helped.
Yep, remember them well.
The poor.
I think my mother was in the Legion of Mary actually at one stage.
Yeah, a great organization, and their romancing consisted of helping the poor. And for a good few years, I lived with my grandparents, and, you know, the travelers would come around and the gypsies would come around and be begging for whatever they have. And they would never refuse them anything, whether it was food or money or clothes or whatever. They'd always give them something. And my grandparents used to bring me to Mass every day. I remember in particular during the summer, you know, I'd go to Mass with them every day. We'd go into Supercon afterwards for a bun, a cream bun, and the faith that I observed from my grandparents is what I want to pass on to my children.
So you inherited that faith, but
yeah,
but again, I say to you, what I'm trying to say to you is,
I'll get to that. Let me
physical building aspects of it. Yeah,
sure. There's a group in the church called Opus Dei, and you probably heard them through.
I have heard.
The concept. I'd be quite warm to the concept of Opus Dei, which was founded by a priest called Jose Maria.
There was quite a lot of controversy around Opus Dei, wasn't there, at one stage, if I remember rightly?
Not really. Maybe around the Da Vinci Code and stuff, but I know quite a few people in Opus Dei, and I would go to Opus Dei prayer meetings and stuff, and it's a personal kind of belief system that basically everything you do can be turned into a prayer. So your work there as a broadcaster can be turned into a prayer. You know, if I'm doing the garden, and what that means, you have to do everything to the very best, the very best standards, no cutting corners. And you apply that to every aspect of life, and that consists of the majority of your faith. When it comes to going to Mass on Sunday, well, I like going to Mass on Sunday, even if the priest is not terribly interesting.
I remember that when I was a child, hanging around the back of the church because my father would send me. Yeah. And then when I'd get home, he'd always say to me, "What was the gospel about?" He'd check to see if I was there, you know.
I know, yeah. I used to go to Mass on my own when I was, you know, 8 or 9. I'd cycle down the town and go to Mass by myself if I had to. Because
most of us were sent.
We were always like, Paddy laughed, we'd go to evening Mass on Sunday, and I hated that because it meant it was only a few more hours where I had to go to bed and then go to school the next day.
Hang on for a second, David, if you can, because I want to just bring in some other people too, and I want you to stay with me as well. Maureen, hi. Hi, Maureen.
Hi, Niall. Hi, Niall. How are you?
Good. Maureen, you know, I find it difficult as an atheist and a non-believer in God, and we can go into that conversation too if you want to, but I find it difficult to understand why people would support any organisation that would be responsible for so much bad. Now, I'm not saying there's been good there. There has been good. There has. But, you know, there's a lot of bad stuff too.
There is. And there's bad stuff in a lot of other places as well. But the whole
But I wouldn't support them.
But then the point about it is that people are missing the teaching, the true teaching of Catholicism. And I'm not surprised that we are talking about this today, Niall, because I spent the morning listening to it on another radio show. And I said to myself, here we go. We are off. And it's because
it was bound to come up because,
Sinead,
she'd remember for her music
being remembered for one thing only, and that was tearing up the picture of Pope John Paul.
Yeah.
Sinead was exploited all her life. She was exploited by radio presenters, TV presenters, journalists, you name it, they exploited her. Did she know it? She was an intelligent woman. Sinead knew the grass wasn't always greener on the other side either. But that's what she's being remembered for.
No, I know. Maureen, I think that's a bit unfair. No, she's been remembered for her music.
That's my opinion.
You know, she's been remembered for her music too.
She was being remembered on the radio show. I was listening to this morning for the very simple reason that I just said. And it was because of this. And somebody else decided to rang in and they're talking about, oh, well, the women were empowered and she was empowering women. Really? Were we empowered today? No. But this is another attack on Catholicism. And the true meaning of Catholicism is not being spoken about. It's just blame this one, blame that one. You're blaming humans. Christ established his Catholic Church, his church, which is the Catholic Church on earth. And he established it at the Last Supper. Sunday Mass and a morning Mass, you are not obliged to go to everyday Mass. You're only obliged under Catholicism to attend Mass on a Sunday. That is an obligation unless you cannot attend. And you're only obliged to attend Mass with the 3/4 of an hour or half an hour, whatever the Novus Ordo priests decide to run it to. The Latin Mass is different. It's longer. That's the only obligation you have. He established the church. All he's asking us Catholics to do is attend Mass one day a week. Give him that hour. Go to him. He has invited us to dine with him. Can we not take 1 hour, go and dine with him, and forget about what these humans have done, because this is done by humans, not by Jesus Christ. That's my point. Catholicism, the true meaning
is being
hidden.
It may have been done. Okay, it may have been done by human beings, and you're right. It was men, obviously, primarily. Although there were nuns responsible for evil deeds, too, within the Catholic Church.
Yes, but and we know that. We know
primarily
that.
Priests, right?
Yes, male we know priests. That. But we're getting away from the true meaning of Catholicism.
Yeah, but hang on. But why, firstly, we have to understand why they did it and how they believed they would get away with it. And they did get away with it. They got away with it for years. And the reason they got away with it was because the power of the church. Now, when we look at religion as a whole, religion has a massive amount of power, extreme power. Better power than any of the media could ever have, because so many people in the world follow religion. You know, if it's not Islam, it's Christianity, which is the two main religions of the world. So many people follow those religions. And when you look at Ireland back in the 1960s, not so much now, but certainly back in the 1960s, you daren't question a priest. You would never, even though people knew, and you know, people knew that, you know, that priest is a bit shady there. Or, well, there's rumours going around about him, and even the guards knew. Nobody questioned their authority. That should have never been allowed to happen, Maureen.
No, it shouldn't have been allowed to happen. We all know that.
But it did.
We know none of them allowed it to happen.
But they allowed it to happen. And I'm not talking about the small percentage of priests who abuse children. I'm talking about the much larger percentage of priests, bishops, cardinals who knew that these were abusing children and did nothing about it apart from protect them.
We know that too.
Yeah.
But the whole, again, this is the point about it is, the problem is that the true meaning, nobody is ever asking any Catholic, can you please explain to me the true meaning of your faith? Because I tell you something, you will go into any mosque or any Protestant church, especially mosque, and you will get the real meaning of Islam because you have to sit and listen to it. And they won't be hiding behind the true meaning of Islam. Or any Buddhism or Hinduism won't be hiding behind the true meaning of it. Do you think any of this is not going on anywhere else? Of course it is. What we need to be talking about today is child trafficking. The biggest organization in this world today is child trafficking. There are thousands, millions being made from children being born and sold.
Okay, don't do the whataboutery, because I have covered the child trafficking and I have talked about it and we will talk about it again. And you were right. It's disturbing. Absolutely disturbing.
It's beyond disturbing, Niall.
Oh, absolutely. It's diabolical. It's despicable, right? And yep, people responsible should go to jail and never see the light of day again. And I will talk about it again. But don't confuse two different topics. Because that's like saying, what about drink drivers? What about this? What about the government? What about that? No. Let's just focus on one thing. Religion
and
the Catholic Church. Do you accept that religion in general, or the organization of religion, i.e. the Catholic Church in this case, and somebody texts in and says, why are you not talking about Muslims? Because Ireland's primarily Catholic. That's why I'm not talking about Muslims. If Ireland was primarily Muslim, I'd be talking about Islam, right? But do you accept that they have too much power?
Do I accept they have too much power?
Yes. Religion.
All religions have power, if you want to put it that way. Mm. What I accept, and I am talking as a Catholic, and again, I'm going to give the true meaning of Catholicism. I am accepting the Catholic faith, the faith that Jesus Christ established on earth. He gave us 10 commandments to live by, 10 very simple rules to live by. That's all he asked. It's not my fault. It isn't any other of the laity's fault.
We do focus very much on the order. Ten Commandments, right? And I'm not going to go into time for today, but those moral codes of life, with the exception of the first two or three, which are quite selfish, which is you don't follow any other gods apart from me, or don't take my name in vain, and all that kind of stuff. Those commandments were already
that's not selfish to me.
But hang on, well, those commandments were already rules of life before the commandments. People knew murder was wrong. They knew thievery was wrong. They knew adultery was wrong. All those things were already wrong. People already knew that. The same way as,
didn't. If you go back to Sodom and Gomorrah, they didn't. They thought it was perfectly okay.
Well,
obliterated them.
But people were punished. Before the commandments, people were punished for murder. People were punished for theft. Those things were already in most civilized parts of the world at that time, if there was civilized parts, which there was, some civilized parts of the world, they were already illegal. And they were already wrong. And you were already punished for those things. It didn't take God to come along and tell us those things were wrong. I think as human beings, morally, we knew. I think, as we evolved with morals anyway. If you go right back to the caves.
It did take God. The Romans were civilized, were they not?
They were.
How many gods did they have?
To some degree.
The ancient Greeks, they all had gods.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We are pagan gods.
But the whole point, again, it's quite simple to understand. Unless Catholics and priests are at fault. Because in most of the churches in this country, priests are not teaching the true dogma of faith.
Okay, well, hang on for a second. David and Maureen, just stay there. Let me just go to Sienna very quickly because I got to go through calls quickly here now. We can make up for the last time when we lost the Lions there. Sienna, hi.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
How are you doing, Sienna? Sienna, do you still support the church? Do you go to Mass?
No, I don't go to Mass, Niall.
No.
But listen, I tell you, with the fair a friend of mine, Brett, we were talking last week, we were saying about school years ago, and she was saying, do you remember after lunch we had a catechism, it was called then?
Yeah.
Religious instruction, we used to call it. You would have said that as well.
Yeah.
And she said, do you remember limbo and purgatory?
Oh, limbo and purgatory. I remember them, yes. I do remember them. Yes. I think they're gone. I think they're gone. By the way, I'm not religious, so I don't know. But I think they're gone now.
No, they went into liquidation. They're gone.
Limbo and purgatory. Yeah, that was when we kind of couldn't decide whether you were a good person or a bad person. It was a baby went into, from what I remember from the teachings, it was a baby went into limbo, wasn't it? And if you were, we didn't know whether you were good or bad, you went to purgatory.
I'm in limbo, and I don't know.
I feel like I'm in limbo myself sometimes. But Sienna, Sienna, what do you say to people who still go to Mass after everything we know about the Catholic Church? The bad stuff. I'm not saying the good stuff. I'm saying the bad stuff.
I don't. To know something, really and truly, I don't think they have any right to tell. Like, a priest can come along and say, right, you're organising a funeral, you're organising a christening. And they can say, oh, no, we won't have any of those songs, or we won't have photographs on the altar for a Christian. They have no right to say that. That's the house of God.
Yeah.
If I want, as I told you many times, I want a happy funeral. Now, no funeral is happy, but if you get me, joy is.
If you want me, John, I'll give you a happy funeral. When you pop your clogs, I'll say nice. I'll say happy things about you.
Yeah. But I watch funerals on friends that have died or neighbours, and on the webcam. And Mandy would say to me, I watched one last week, and I said, Mandy, it was a very dead funeral.
I don't think there was supposed to be very happy occasions either, to be honest, generally speaking. Actually, let me just come back to David in relation to that. Sorry, David, just in relation to the religious aspects of life, weddings, bar mitzvahs, baptismals, funerals, they're not really religious occasions anymore because they're just traditions now, aren't they?
I wouldn't agree with that. I wouldn't, a funeral has a specific order, like in the Catholic faith, it's kind of you're praying for the dead. You're also praying for the people left behind and stuff. and it's a final ceremony.
We look at communion and weddings, it's all about the money, isn't it?
A bit wacky. I don't know if you saw that video going around. If, you know, in Ghana, the way they do the funerals with the men dressed up.
Dancing. The music is great, isn't it?
A funeral like that.
Yeah. I'm always afraid the coffin's going to fall off their shoulders. That's all I'm afraid. And I was talking to a guy one day from Ghana. I had him on the air and I couldn't believe it. I said to him, is that real or is that just a joke for TikTok? And he says, no. My mother had a funeral like that. He said, it's only done for people, elders in the town who are very respected. They do this and they kind of dress up in those suits and they put it on their shoulder and they dance with the music. And I'm going, it's real. Wow. Like, it really does happen. Actually, Maureen and David, just stay there for a second and just let me go to Steve as well. Steve, hi.
I slightly missed that. Did you just say that people were dancing with corpses?
No, they put the funeral up on, or the coffin up on their shoulders. Have you seen the video, Steve, of them dancing with the coffin on their shoulders? TikTok it. Search for it.
I think it's in Ghana. I thought you said they were dancing with corpses. So, no.
No.
I was clearly wrong on that.
Okay.
Look, the way I want to put this to people is there's been more than 300 priests found guilty of abusing over 1,000 children. 1,000 children. Now, we can say that every organization has a problem. You know, the guards have certain corruption in it, and it doesn't matter what organization, there's going to be corruption no matter what. But when the numbers are at what the numbers are at, I mean, 1,000 children that we know of, I can only assume that figures 10 times the amount, because we know what went on back then. And not just sexual abuse, but physical abuse as well. So, you know, with the nuns. So I can understand people losing the faith in the church because the percentage has gone way. It's at a tipping point. The church has tipped over. It has failed. It has failed its people. So I understand that, you know, people like Maureen want to have love in their heart and practice the Catholic faith and all that type of stuff. But your organization has been stained beyond repair. And it's probably best off if you look for a better club to join.
Not true.
Because you're just going to be you're going to be thrown into the pit with the rest of them.
Okay, can I get in there now?
Yep.
Do you, like, whenever all that horrid stuff about what goes on in the film industry came out, like the whole Harvey Weinstein and everything, did you stop going to the cinema? When the government, you know, how much corruption and cronyism have you seen with the government? Do you stop paying your taxes?
I don't think that's a good analogy, David. Okay, let's go back to the Harvey Weinstein analogy. Would you still support Harvey Weinstein movies? No, I wouldn't. Would you support Hollywood in general? Yes, I do. Yeah. So the point is, you know, would I support the Catholic Church? No. Would I support religion in general? So that's the actual analogy you should be giving there. I wouldn't support a Harvey Weinstein movie. No, of course not. No more than I'd support if somebody made a remake of Jimmy Savile's Jim Will Fix It. I wouldn't be supporting that either. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Any movie made under the Miramax brand, you best not watch then, because there's a lot of good movies under that, and that's his company.
Well, you know, his name has been taken off all the credits for all those movies.
Yeah, that's
and here's the thing: if I see his name coming up in a movie, I will turn it off because I don't want to watch something made by a piece of shit like him. You know, so at the end of the day, what I'm trying to say to you is, you know, you being a follower of the church, the figures have tipped way past and the church has fallen over. It's not going to recover. It'll never recover from a stain like that. You can't unring a bell. We all know the truth.
But Steve, the argument is the argument, Steve, the church is not the building or the organization.
No,
the church is the people. Isn't that the argument?
Yes.
So the church is the people.
Yes, and the representation of the church, the higher powers, the very top higher powers, covered up the worst crime you could do on a child. They covered it up. How can you ever believe them again? How could you ever have faith again?
Okay, but let Maureen respond, because you asked Maureen in the first place. Go ahead, Maureen.
Okay. Oh, to respond, what do you want to respond to me now, Steve?
Well,
Be among the first to experience Ardent Community's newest luxury apartments in Galloway, Ohio, The Pinnacle and The Reserve at Parkside Village. Enjoy spacious modern floor plans designed for comfort, style, and convenience. Amenities built around your lifestyle, beautiful finishes, thoughtful community spaces, and the perfect location. Move in now and live rent-free for 2 full months. Start fresh in a place that truly feels like home. The Pinnacle and The Reserve at Parkside Village. Call or visit ardentcommunities.com to schedule a tour or check out our rent specials.
Respond to what Steve said. How can you ever support an organization that was so corrupt, essentially?
Because
I'm not looking at the Catholicism again. Can we get away from this organization? I am a follower of Jesus Christ.
But you go to Mass.
Do I go to Mass?
Do you? Yeah.
I go to Mass every Sunday now.
Yeah, well, then you support Catholicism because that's the Catholic Church.
I do, because it's my faith. It's my faith. I'm supporting Jesus Christ. And
but do you have faith in
that he established
Maureen,
on earth? I have faith in Catholicism.
Okay, Maureen, do you have faith in
church.
The church? Do you have faith in the people do you have faith of the people within the church?
The majority are good people. There is a minority, and they're horrible. Nuns are horrible, priests are horrible, we all know that. But the whole point about this discussion is Catholicism and the true meaning of Catholicism. And
that's not what this discussion is about.
It is exactly, Steve, what it's about.
No, it is about.
And you said that the church. No,
Maureen,
you said the church won't recover. Wait a minute now.
Tested.
Listen. No, you said the church won't recover. Christ himself said the gates of hell will never prevail against his church.
There.
You look back at Cromwell's time. Persecuted Catholics in this country went to Mass Rocks. When Henry VIII overturned and destroyed England, Scotland went the same way. Persecuted Catholics still attended Mass because they follow their faith.
Maureen, I can understand
and
why you're
getting
upset.
Jesus Christ.
Well, hang on. Just one person at a time. Sorry, David, you want to say something to Steve there? Go ahead.
So Steve said that the church is dying and why would I support the church? Just mirroring something that Maureen said there. Like, it's my faith. It's my church. And each local church is made up of the people that go to Mass, and they have a lot of influence over how things are run. Coming up next week is World Youth Day, and my 17-year-old sister is going over to it, along with probably more than a million other Catholics. And then in a few more weeks there's a group called Youth 2000, and they run a bunch of youth retreats throughout the year, but there's an annual big retreat, and there'll be more than 1,000 young people going to it. And to say that the church is dead and that nobody's interested in the church is just...
I said the church is dying.
Yeah, it's
wrong. I said the church is dying. I never said it's dead. But here's the thing, the church's days are over.
But ultimately, like, Steve, I have 4 children, okay? I obviously am disgusted by the prospect of some sicko doing anything to any of them, right? I have a lot of friends who are priests, and I could only, like, if one of those people, like, in one of those convicted paedophiles, like, I can only imagine what people had to face when they found out someone that they know and trusted was one of these people, right? But for them, I believe that people that are that way inclined, they seek out positions of where they're
probably
going to get near
you're absolutely right. But Dave, let me ask you a question here. Let me a quick question. Let's say you knew of a friend who was convicted of sexually assaulting a child, and it turned out that your small group of friends who knew this friend also knew what happened but never said anything. Would you stay friends with those people?
No, I wouldn't stay friends with those people. How could I?
No, you'd never trust them again. Exactly. You could never.
No, I couldn't.
I understand the point Steve is making, David. And, you know, I work during the day, as you know. I work for Classic Hits Radio, right? For the radio station.
Yeah.
And let's say, for example, you know, there was abuse, or 2 or 3 DJs were abusing people, which clearly they're not, by the way. Mm. But let's say they were. And let's say the CEO knew about it. And let's say the program director knew about it. And let's say a couple of people in sales knew about it. But not everybody was involved. The majority actually weren't involved. Do you think anybody would... And it all came out and it was investigated. There was a full report done on it and it was horrendous. Do you think anybody would ever listen to the radio station again? No, they wouldn't. It'd be closed down. That'd be the end of it.
Likely
but the concept... Hold on for a second now. The concept of Classical Hits concept of classic hits.
I don't know. No, you're what you're. And no, like, no. But I'm not talking about the concept of religion. I'm not telling people shouldn't believe. But no, because now if you want to use that analogy, what I'm saying is, I'm not saying you shouldn't have faith or you shouldn't believe in God or Jesus Christ or religion. But I'm talking about this part of the organization.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. Get rid of them, imprison them, get rid of them. But the organization, classic hits, still there. I want to still listen to classic hits. I want to listen to the best of the 80s
and 90s. My problem is how can anybody ever have faith again? You said that you have faith in these guys, in the church, and the people within the church.
I didn't say I had faith in these guys.
Sorry, Maureen did. Maureen said that she had faith of the people within the church. You can never trust people.
Okay, well, hang on, both of you. Let me just, because I want to get to a few callers here. So I want both of you to stay there, Stephen, David, if you don't mind. Let me go to Sean as well. Sean, how are you doing?
Hiya, Niall. How are you? Niall, I'll just give you, because I know you're stuck for time, a very quick one. My mother and her family were involved, you know, they were in the church, and but between our frack and Golden Bridge, they went through horrific times.
Oh, I'm losing your line there. You need to put this the phone to your face or something, Steve, or Sean.
You mean Niall?
Yeah, go ahead, go on.
My mother and her family, they were in Letterfrack and in Golden Bridge, Niall.
All right, okay.
They went through horrific times, you know, absolutely horrific times. Now, what you asked, what I will tell you is that none of us go to church, only for the likes of an hour funeral here and there. Or, you know, the only time my kids have ever went to church is a communion and confirmation, Niall. And I didn't even like that. I hated that. But they had to do it because of the skill, this and that and the other. So, you know, it answer to your question, Niall, no. And I don't have faith in any church. The government, the church, everybody that was involved back then, Niall, the government, the Irish government tried to get this under the carpet as quick as possible. I'll never forget it. And I'll say this, Niall, the tune babies, you know, like, how can people still worship? You know, how can people still go to church? And Niall, if you look at it as well there, what Dave said, the church is a dying.
Steve said it.
Steve said that.
Well, religion in general, by the way, with the exception of Islam, which is growing, religion in general is there's a huge reduction in the amount of people who believe in religion. But a lot of that is just to do with education. Yeah.
Well, you look at the likes of how many people applied for a job as a priest in the last couple of years.
I think there was only one priest last year.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go. And
I think it was only one.
Good luck to the church, Raptor. What are you doing?
In Ireland, you know, I'm talking about. Sorry, we're not in Ireland.
Absolutely. Yes. I hate the place, Niall. And my kids hate the place. And this is, I have a very, very large family, Niall. And none of us, absolutely none of us, will ever go to church again. And their kids won't go to church. And their kids won't go to church. We'll educate these people. We'll educate all their kids and their grandkids about what happened.
What do you say to people who have great faith and they go to Mass every Sunday?
I feel sorry for them, Niall.
You feel sorry for them?
I do, yeah, I do. You know, because they're, you know, if it happened to them, Niall, they'd have a different aspect on this. They would have, I was listening to the guy there that he goes to church and his kids are going here,
Davis,
there and everywhere.
Yeah.
If this happened to one of David's family, he would have a totally different, you know, opinion on this altogether.
I don't agree with that. I said I don't agree with that.
If this was your mother and father, David, we were talking about, and went through the horrific abuse, you would still go to church, would you?
It's like what Niall made a good analogy there about the corruption within. Like if horrible things were happening in Classic Hits, would you stop listening to Classic Hits?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, I wouldn't listen to Classic Hits. You know,
let's use the BBC as an example. We've seen some horrific stuff happen in the BBC. Over the years, maybe that's a better example because we've actually seen it happen with Jimmy Savile and other presenters as well within the BBC. Mind you, not to the extent that's happened within the church, but certainly things need to be questionable. And you know what, David, that comes back to, sorry, Sean, when you talk about the BBC, the Jimmy Savills and the Gary Glitters and all them people on the BBC at the time, and David Lee Travis and the accusations made against him as well, and some other people within the BBC as part of that Me Too movement. Again, it comes down to one thing, power.
Lads, can I mention something there? I haven't spoken in a while. I've been quiet, and there's a reason why I've been quiet. Because I genuinely, hand on heart, I feel for David and Maureen. Because
you feel sorry for them?
When you spend... I feel terrible sorry for them, because all they want is their faith, that little bit of peace, where they sit in the church and everything is fine. you know, and
doesn't
they can have faith that there's that they could have faith that there's something better after this crappy life that we're in. So it's terrible that we're all on air going, the thing you love, you know, we're going to take the piss out of it so much. And it's not taking the piss out of it, but point out the flaws within it. And it must be a hard battle in your conscience whether you do or do not support the Catholic Church. So I don't envy Maureen or this guy, David. I genuinely feel sorry about it.
And I do get the idea what he's saying. It's hard sometimes, David, to particularly, maybe not so much now, but certainly going back 10 years ago when the report after report after report was coming out,
it was hard to defend, isn't it?
I remember even being in primary school. This is before any of these reports came out. You know, I had lads flagging me for going to math. And stuff. So it's not really anything new to me. For people to be saying, "Oh, you shouldn't be going to mass and stuff like that," I've heard it the whole time. And you know, I have a mixed background, as I said. You know, my father being Muslim and stuff like that. And it's, you know,
which is an unusual situation, by the way. I know your father's a Muslim.
Very unusual. Yeah, you know, yeah. I have a different name to them. My name is Dawood, and not David.
Right. Okay. Because your father was Muslim and your mother was Christian or Catholic, why did you choose Catholic over Islam?
Well, I mean, you know, I've been brought up with a kind of a healthy level of skepticism, and I'm always like, there's a lot of things that go on even in Dublin. Like the Dominicans often have things on for people who don't believe to kind of ask questions about what we actually believe. And actually, Islam is kind of I don't want to be, stepping on anybody's shoes.
You better not step in your father's shoes or you'd be in serious trouble. Actually, well, hang on. Let me go to Paddy McQuail if I can. Paddy, how are you doing?
How you doing, Niall?
Good, Paddy. Of course, the conversation today is not just about the sad passing of Sinead O'Connor, but of course of that moment that she's very famous for, which was tearing up the picture of the Pope, which led to everything we know today, probably about the Catholic Church.
Yeah, well, she was a few popes too early, because I'd say it was the photograph of this fellow that she should be tearing up.
Oh, I thought people liked him.
Well, he went out of his way to become a very popular person at the very start. He used to call phone people up out of the blue, people he didn't really know, phone them up to make him look like a person of the people, a man of the people. Now, if you go back to the 70s and 80s in Argentina, he was under investigation when the whole regime of the time collapsed. He was under investigation, and a lot of the questions that were asked have not been answered.
I'm not familiar with the story, but maybe you can enlighten me. Under investigation for what?
For helping the regime with the desaparecidos.
Oh, okay.
The disappearance of thousands of people. He was under investigation, collaborating with the regime. Now, he came in was it 2013, I think it was?
That's
it?
Right, yes, yeah.
Near the two popes, okay. Now, Ratzinger, whom I wasn't a particular fan of either, was a relatively young man, well, in good health, let's say, for a pope. There was no particular reason for him to resign.
He wasn't popular, but that's why. He wasn't a good face for the Catholic Church.
I don't think it was that. I think that, first of all, the powers that be, which would be the WEF, really, in this world at the moment, who is running the world, who represent industrialists and pharmaceuticals and so forth, put pressure on politicians to put pressure on him. They brought in Francis, who basically... If you want to talk about
a wolf in sheep's clothing,
a wolf. Yeah, put it like that if you want. Yeah, but he came in. What did he do? It's when the vaccines were introduced, he supported the vaccines.
With the greatest respect, I'm not going down the vaccine route today, but with the greatest respect, loads of, you know, people who are in high positions supported the vaccines. It wasn't just a Pope.
But my point is...
Okay, I'm not going down... We're not going into a vaccine debate today, Paddy. I don't have time for it. Paddy, I'm not going into that. We want to focus on what we're talking about. And what we're talking about is the decline of the Catholic Church. And does it surprise you that people still go to Mass? I'm not talking about vaccines today. We can talk about it another day if you want.
Please invite me on to talk about it because it's very important what he did during the. What I'm talking about as far as the vaccine is concerned, this is the only thing I'm going to say about it, is that when it was found that there were stem cells from fetuses, unborn fetuses in the stem, in the vaccine, that's all I want to say about that.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. Do you go to Mass, Paddy?
Sorry?
Do you go to Mass?
I don't. No.
No. And do you think that people who go to Mass are supporting the wrong cause?
No, I know a lot of very, very good people who go to Mass, and it's their absolute right.
I live down St. Andy's Road.
Okay.
So, I don't think their intention is doing damage. But the church is gone down a complete. Look, for example, I was in the odd time I'd walk into the church just for. To get off the sound of the city, of the town. And I was in Drogheda last week, and I went into the Augustinian church in Shop Street. And there was a Ukrainian flag hanging there. Now, as much as you can feel sorry for the Ukrainians and so forth, you can't bring politics into the church. And you can't have gay pride and LGBTQ flags in churches or outside churches. And that's what...
Well, then obviously you're a supporter of the church. If you feel that strongly about it, if you feel that's wrong, you're obviously a supporter of the church. Yeah,
I'm not a supporter of the church.
Then why do you care about the flags?
I care about the flag because if the church is supposed to be a spiritual entity.
Yeah, but you don't. Well, yeah, but you just tell me you don't support the church and you don't care about them anyway. Do you care about the church?
I don't give a dog.
Well, then why do you give a dog's about the flags that are hanging up inside it? Why do you care? Why does it bother you so much?
I care because it's hypocritical. They are supposed to be a spiritual entity.
I agree we should never be mixing politics, and it is a political movement, LGBTQ. Yeah. I get that. I get what you're talking about. But why do you care? Because I don't care. Because I don't care particularly about the Catholic Church. I care about people's religion, and I respect people's religion, but I don't care about the Catholic Church, so I couldn't give a damn if they put, I don't know, a swastika hanging up in the middle of the church. It wouldn't bother me in the slightest, because I don't go to it. I don't go there. Jesus said you don't go there.
I hate hypocrisy, that's all. That's the only reason.
Oh, okay.
I hate hypocrisy.
Okay, all right, okay, Paddy, appreciate that. Let me just go to Tony. Sorry, Tony wants to come in here as well. Sorry, Tony, hi.
How are you? Are you okay?
Yeah, not really, no. Go on, I'm getting confused now.
What's wrong with you?
I'm just getting confused, Tony. Sorry, Tony, make the point.
You're getting confused or what?
Paddy went into about 400 million topics there. He went into vaccines, LGBTQ. He was going into a smidgen of everything. It's like making a cake.
come on, that's starting to drive you mad now already.
So go on, getting back to what we were talking about, I suppose. Do you still support the church? Do you go to church, do you, Tony?
I do, but I do go into the church, yeah, but I don't go to Mass.
Okay.
And I've confronted priests about what's happened in the past, and I've said, and the priests have said to me, yeah, but there's some good people as
there
well.
There is good people.
And I've done what you said, yeah, and but just like, and the answer I gave them there, I says, yeah, but the good people, I says, we're doing all the covering up for the bad people. And it just left them stunned. It just left them with... They were just like, I saw a priest standing there and they hadn't got an answer. But still, like, I just still have my faith and I go in and light a candle and I say a prayer for my family and things like that for health and happiness. That's all I ever ask for.
Is it a bit hypocritical?
But yes, I do.
Is it hypocritical to go into a building and support an organisation that has been responsible? Yes, it's been responsible for a lot of good, but responsible for so much bad as well.
I know, and it's been horrendous. And I mean, if you look back to, I'm not even going to say Father Smith, it was Brendan Smith.
Abused 20 children.
He personified evil. That man was just, he personified evil.
Scumbag of the highest order.
Yeah, but just like, I would gladly stone him, you know what I mean? It was just absolutely horrendous.
Well, I did mention they covered his grave in concrete, not in soil, and I think that was to make sure he never got out of it.
They should have put steel around the concrete as well.
Well, I think the main reason for that was they were afraid people were going to dig him up and do something to his body.
I just hope that man just like didn't have a Christian burial because he didn't deserve it. He was
actually.
He looked like the devil. He looked like the devil reincarnated.
He did actually. He looked so evil, didn't he?
He was
right.
Just so evil. But no, and there's several points. I'm not covering. I'm not making excuses for the church. I'm not making look. But it's going on again, and it's being ignored again. Mm. There's children being trafficked all over Ireland. Mainstream media won't talk about it. The politicians, the Minister for
we
Children...
Did. We did, but hang on, when you say mainstream... Well, hang on, when you say mainstream media...
You've done a piece on it, and you had the two people on...
And I'm going to have the two people on this podcast within the next few days again. So,
yeah, but I'm talking about, like, in general, Noel, it has been ignored. This should be headlines...
You're right,
all
you're right.
...all over the newspapers, but it's not. The Minister for
I think the only piece
made a comment on it.
The only piece, well, in fairness, the Irish Times, they did do the report, but the only piece, the only piece was Leo Varadkar, Grip Media, and Leo Varadkar saying that it is under investigation. But you got to remember, that's not the church, that's the state. By the way, Tusla is the state. Yeah, so.
But that's what I'm saying. Like the state was in cahoots with the church before and covering up, and now they're doing the exact same thing again. Mm. They're ignoring it, hoping it'll go away.
Yeah, it's shocking. It is a shocking report. Yeah.
But like the Minister for Children, I don't think has even made a comment.
Yeah, but here's the thing, and I go back to what I was talking to David and Steve about earlier on. If it's found out in a report that any ministers or any individuals within Tusla know of abuse going on of teenage girls, which is what the suggestion of the report is, and that is to be investigated. Yeah. And if that is the case, and that children have gone missing in this country, that were under the care of Tusla, if that is the case, people responsible should be fired.
Prosecuted.
No,
but they have so much, hold on, all the ministers in this country, as far as I'm concerned, and the powers that be, have so much shit on each other, but that the whole house of cards will fall down. Mm. The whole thing will fall apart because they have so much...
Okay.
Shit on these.
I am going to come back to it. Please, I know people keep saying it to me by text that you're going to come back to it. I am. I was just waiting because the individuals who I spoke to about the report are on holidays or were on holidays.
Like
yeah. So I will
it's
come.
It's just like there's no way that something this big, Noel, is able to be ignored like that.
No, it can't. No, you're right. It can't be ignored. But getting back to going into a physical church.
Please let me speak. Right, this is for the protection of children. All right, but just like we had a big primetime investigate that was on your show for calves and cows. Where's the primetime investigate for the children? Where is it? There's no talk about it. They're not making one, are they? Why not? Because the whole house of cards will fall down.
I don't know, Tony, and I think maybe there is. Now, I don't know for sure. I do have faith in primetime investigates, and I do believe if there's something to be investigated, they will do it. And maybe they are doing it. Those investigations on primetime can take up to 3 or 4 months. That report only came out last month. So it may take a little bit of time to do a proper investigation. Give them
all the silence on it.
Because you're hardly going to, if you're doing an investigation, you're hardly going to make it public because you don't want to tip people off.
I'm talking about silence across the board.
No, I know. You are 100% right. The mainstream media should be covering the story more. Absolutely.
And the politicians should be screaming at each other in Dáil Éireann saying, are we going to get to the bottom of this?
I couldn't agree with you more. And you are 100% right. And I hope that Primetime Investigates, if there is something to be investigated, are currently investigating it. And maybe there will be a show out in the next few months. But in the meantime, I will be talking to the people responsible, Tony, in the next few days. No, but I do want to get back to it.
The voice for it. Okay, cheers.
Okay,
thank you.
Okay, let me go to James. James, just finally on this, you've heard what Steve has to say. Not too pleased that people would even think about, supporting the Catholic Church after all they've done.
Good afternoon, Al.
Yeah.
Well, I will continue to support the church till the day I die now. I've been part of the church since I was obviously baptised, and I will continue to support it for the majority of the good people in the Catholic Church. I won't be supporting the Father Brendan Smiths or all of those type of people, but I'll be going in because of the good priests we have here in Cork and people like Father Peter McVerry, who has spent his whole life looking after the marginalised and the alcoholics. And I only saw him the other day. He had a big bruise on his face. He had been attacked by one of the people that he helps, one of the drug addicts. They struck him in the face. So,
I saw
and
that,
he continues. And he continues to help them, even though he's nearly 80 years old. And we had Brother Kevin, who was in the Capuchin Centre in Dublin, started that 40 years ago, looking after the homeless, long before it was popular to be looking after the homeless. And he spent his whole life looking after the poor in Dublin.
And I'm not going to disagree with you, James. There are a lot of good people within the Catholic Church.
And I could
name
thousands of those, Niall. Thousands of them.
Absolutely.
Thousands.
Okay, I can also sit beside you and draw up a list of people who are bad people, too.
Well, yes, but Niall, only the other day, one of my friends, he's an elderly man, he went up to his local park up here on the west side of the city to sit down. He's a father and a grandfather, to read his paper. Loved looking at the kids playing around. One of the security men came over to him and he said, "Sir, you wouldn't mind," he said, "moving, because one of the ladies there is not happy about you being here."
Wow.
"And would you move to the other side of the park? Make my life easier. I know you're not, there's no problem with you." So he did, of course. And he said, "James, I won't be going up there again." No. So there you go, Niall.
I know.
But of course, thousands of men, Niall. I've been looking at the newspaper for the last 20 years. Thousands and thousands of men have abused their children, Niall. But doesn't mean I will turn against all fathers, Niall, and say they mustn't be involved in underage sport. They mustn't be involved in underage soccer. It would be very unfair, Niall, wouldn't it?
It would, but I don't know whether that's a good analogy. You know what I mean? Because you can equally say thousands of women, actually more women, are responsible for the physical abuse of children.
Oh, not for sexual abuse.
Sexual abuse, but the physical abuse of children. So, and equally, I wouldn't ignore all women either for physically abusing children, because that's what has happened in society. But what I'm saying, I don't think that's a good analogy, because what we're doing is generalising. We're talking about an individual organisation. I'm not talking about religion as a whole, James. I respect your belief in religion, and you keep following your religion, and I say the same to David. But what I'm talking about is the organisation responsible for promoting religion, which is the PR company as such, which is the Catholic Church. And
it's not a PR company, though.
Well, I'm looking at it from a layman's point of view.
If it was a PR company, it would be very bad at its job.
It would be really bad at its job. Can I just point out? But isn't that the point I'm making? You wouldn't be using that PR company anymore?
Yeah, but that's why it's not a PR company.
Well, it is.
It's a religion.
Well, hang on. The religion is not the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is not the religion.
Okay.
Now,
all of the people that are involved in kind of scandals, like, they come and go, right? But the religion is there. So, I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
It's the principle behind it, and that's what we believe in.
I mean, it is the congregation.
But that congregation that you talk about, are not the congregation.
That is the church now, not the priest.
The people are the church. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, but
I'm agreeing with both of you, right? But the building that you go into, the men in the black suits with the white collars, right? Most of them are good people, by the way. I'm not having a go at them all. Most of them are good people, right? But that whole image has been tarnished. And also, most of that, David and James, as you well know, is man-made. It's nothing to do with Jesus, nothing to do with God, the confession box, the idea that they have to be celibate, they're not allowed to marry. They're all man-made rules that were made in the kind of 11th century. So, realistically, that's not the church. That doesn't represent what Jesus Christ, if you believe in Jesus Christ, what he said.
But the church itself, the building now, is the house of the Lord. And I know people who go to the church to pray.
But your house can be the house of God.
They have no time for the Catholic Church now. They have no time for the Catholic Church.
But it doesn't have to be the church.
They have their own private faith to meet the Lord and be in his presence.
But you can meet the Lord in your front room if you want to, James. Do you know what I mean? Sorry? You can meet the Lord in your front room or kitchen if you want.
Well, he is present there in the tabernacle now. That's why people want to go there and show him respect. But I would have no problem going into the church and worshiping the Lord. It's got nothing to do with the priest. The priest won't be there if you want to go in and say a prayer now. So I can't understand why anyone wouldn't want to go to visit the Lord and have their own relationship with him. You don't have to be a member of the Catholic Church to have a relationship with God, you know, now.
David, can I ask you a question, David? Just before we finish up, I just venture slightly into religion rather than just the Catholic Church. Mm. As you know, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. And I find it sometimes difficult. Well, not difficult, but maybe a little bit unusual to understand how people who are otherwise extremely intelligent people, and I gather, David, you're an intelligent person, right? From the conversation we've had so far today, that you're an extremely intelligent person.
And I'd like to think I am.
Well, yeah, okay. And do you believe everything that's in the Bible?
That's a very big question. Do I believe everything in the Bible?
Are you a la carte?
The Bible is the inspired word of God, but I can't just pick up the Bible and take it at face value because it's a collection. It's a library of books written at written in different styles, and each part needs to be interpreted. So it's not like, I know like atheists will go, oh, how come God in the Old Testament is a cruel, kind of punishing, vengeful God, and the God in the New Testament is loving and forgiving. And I'm not, again.
Let me just cut to the chase, right? Yeah. Do you believe every story in the Bible, or do you believe those stories just are stories with good morals? And James, I'll ask you the same question in a few minutes because I also believe you're a very intelligent man. And I always ask this particular one. The story of Noah and his family who built a boat for what scientists would have believed at that particular time on Earth there would have been 1.2 million species of land-faring animals. You don't include the birds or the fish, obviously. Of land-faring animals. A boat big enough for them, but just him, his wife, and was it two children or four? I can't remember. With Bronze Age tools, do you believe that story actually happened?
You asking me that?
No. I'll ask David first.
I don't think it's meant to be a history book or interpreted like a history book. Like
that's
that.
A fair point.
There's a message in
there. There's a message in the story, and I get that. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. There's a moral to the story. Let me ask James the same question just very quickly, sorry, and I'll come back to you.
I would answer much the same as that gentleman answered, Niall. There's a message there and you interpret it your own way, you know?
But you don't believe it actually physically happened.
I was actually delighted. You had an interview there recently, a great interview, talk about intelligent men. I think he was a neurosurgeon, professor there, one of your late interviews. And he was talking about the afterlife and a soul and all that.
Yeah.
And do you remember that now?
I do, yeah. It was about 2 weeks ago at night, wasn't it?
Yes, very interesting, highly intelligent man. And I was delighted to hear him talking about a soul and the afterlife and all that. Mm-hmm.
And he was a neurosurgeon. Sorry,
there
David.
Are intelligent people now.
There are. David, you wanted to ask me a question just before we finish here. Go ahead.
Niall, I have an uncle who's an atheist. And we have a good laugh and a good discussion about is there God, is there not God and stuff. And one thing I will ask you to do me a favor is, we had this joke with him. I was like, look, if you want to know if there's God or not, you can ask him. And if you go into a room where nobody can hear you and start talking to God and ask him to show himself in your life, and at the very least, if he's not there, then at the very least, you've just been talking to yourself.
And if he is there, can I ask him for the lottery numbers?
If he is there, I'll tell you this, Niall. Like I have experienced a lot of miracles in my life. I know, like being an atheist, you wouldn't believe in that, but it could be something called serendipity or whatever. But very specific things have happened to me in very specific ways that I've asked for, and that's obviously not the basis of my faith. It's one of the perks, but. It's certainly like things have happened in abundance in very specific ways when I'm asking for something, it's not like, oh, maybe this will happen or that will happen. It's like, I need this and I need it now.
Yeah, James has been telling me the same thing for years. James has been telling me he's been dodging death for years.
Oh, yes. He doesn't seem to want me, I'm afraid. He doesn't seem to want me.
James says he wakes up every morning just glad he's alive.
If you do talk to God, Niall, no one will know. Only you will know.
Yeah, okay. So, worst thing, as you're right, the worst thing that could happen is I feel like a fool. Okay, fair enough.
Exactly.
Listen, thank you very much indeed, and I appreciate both of you coming on. David, thank you for staying as long as you did. David Conroy, and also James, my good friend. Graham says on Twitter, no and yes. This is in relation to, you know, supporting the church and going to Mass. And if you don't go to church, like the vast majority of us, you're not a Catholic. Razor's Edge says on Twitter, same thing happening in Ireland right now under Tusla's watch. I have no religion, by the way. Forget the religion. Prosecute the abusers, whoever they are. Castrate them if necessary. Couldn't agree with you more, by the way. Why would boys be taught to say nothing about abuse when girls also take a long time to do the same? I'm doing it. I think there was always this theory by psychologists and psychiatrists when they were looking into all the reports many, many years ago. And I remember reading a report by a psychologist as to why primarily priests seem to pick, or abusers in general, tend to pick young boys. paedophiles. And there are numerous theories on that, by the way. But the main one is that there was always this belief, whether it be right or wrong, by the abuser that the boy is less likely to say something. He's more likely to keep the secret, which is horrendous, isn't it? Laura says, I understand there is a good priest working in the on the ground, but what about the systematic dismissal of child abuse at the top of this organisation and moving around child abusers to work around more vulnerable people while wrongly allowing survivors to be gagged and threatened with prosecutions? All while today they deny restorative measures to survivors and charitable denied contributions to the Magdalene Apology. I think that's probably more about the money for the mother and baby homes. Anything else. All right. Listen, so many people, by the way, were messaging in today. The topic came about, of course. They always say, out of one bad thing, something good comes. And, of course, sadly, from the death of Sinead O'Connor came that topic today, which many people are talking about, because as well as being known, well known for her talent and her beautiful voice, she's also exposed well known for her vulnerability and for her outspoken views in relation to the Catholic Church. And, of course, that very image that we'll always remember of her on Saturday Night Live tearing up the picture of the Pope. Anyway, I did want to try and get to another topic today about Kevin Spacey. I'm not going to have time to do it now, so we might get to it again tomorrow. So don't, or not tomorrow. Is it tomorrow? What day is today? Today's Thursday. Yeah, it'll be Monday. So don't forget, join us again on Monday at 12 o'clock. If you want to listen to this show or any of the shows, you can go to my website, nileboylan.com. That's nileboylan.com. You can also listen to all our podcasts, all 9 weeks of them. Pardon me, so far. And you can go to Spotify or indeed our website. If you want to watch them and see the videos, you've got to go to the website. You don't do that on Spotify. And don't forget, we take down the stream that's live at the moment on Facebook and Twitter. We take that down as soon as the show is over. We would ask you, politely, of course, to support us. We don't, as you can see, there's no advertising. Look, see behind me here. No advertising or anything like that. There's no advertising here and below me or anything like that. So we rely solely on your support. It's almost like a donation, isn't it? And if you want to make that €5 donation, all you got to do is click the subscribe button, which is up the top here on Twitter. You'll see it on Twitter, subscribe, up over my name there, my profile. Or you can go to our website and do it there as well. If you can, although we're having slight technical detail problems with that, which we should have amended by the end of the week. Either way, you can just send a check in the post. Joking. You can subscribe. It's a fiver a month. And all it does is it helps us to give you this platform every day. Remember, this is just not my show. It is your show. It's your show, not just mine. So please, by the way, tell a friend about the show. Share it around. You can click the subscribe button. You can tell other people to subscribe as well if you want to help us. And of course, the more subscriptions we get, the better we can make this. We want to make it better. We have plans to make it better. Those plans cost money. Money that we don't have. But we would like to do it for you. And we want to make this show bigger. We want the production to be better. We want to give you more opportunities. We want to get a man out on the street. We want to do all sorts of different things. But all that is not possible without your support. So you can subscribe at any stage by clicking the subscribe button. It's up the top. I would ask people to do it. Thank you very much to all those who already have. Not enough of you, but all those who already have. Remember, you'll never be charged for watching it live. We stream it live on Facebook and Twitter every day. That will never change, and you will never be charged for watching it live. So you can watch it for free every single day. All we ask is that you help us by supporting us and by subscribing. The easiest way to do it, as I said, is on Twitter. You can just do it on your phone. It's very quick. Pay through Apple Pay or whatever it is. Anyway, thank you very much indeed. It's a fiver, price of a pint. Talk to you again on Monday at 12 o'clock. Until then, don't forget, go to the website and watch all the shows or listen to them on Spotify, whatever it is you want to do. Thanks very much and talk to you again on Monday.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.